Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape. Tomei Cousin, I am thrilled to have you here at long last.
Yes.
You are a very busy theatrical artist, we will say. You choreograph, you direct, you perform. Your name has been all over Pittsburgh this summer. And we're talking about a show that you'll be directing at the Pittsburgh Playhouse coming up here in September, The Scottsboro Boys.
Yes, The Scottsboro Boys. not your typical musical, I would say, but a very important one for the times we're having right now.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that, about the substance of this show, which has a lot of historical significance.
The basic premise of it is in 1931, nine Afro-American young boys between the ages of 19 and 13 were basically hobos. They were traveling in the South trying to find work. And there was a fight that broke out on the train between some races, and they were pulled over. And there were two women that were found in a boxcar, two cars over. And they were basically hustlers, if we'll call them. And so the women, to save themselves, pointed to these young boys and said that they were raped. Mm. And so it started what we are now calling a railroad case. So these young men went through about nine different trials, and they were found guilty each time. And so it basically is the start of the civil rights movement underneath it. Yeah. And many characters come from it. So it's a musical, though.
Right, and told through a Candor and Ebb musical.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And most people might be familiar with them through things like Cabaret
and Chicago.
So how do Candor and Ebb tell this very sensitive story?
Well, the same way. Chicago, it has a little bit of irony and bite inside of it.
Yeah.
And so they found a way to give it some razzle and dazzle without making it too over the top.
Right.
So it still keeps a little bit of the seriousness in it, but it does have a great deal of fun in it. And it's done through the premise of a minstrel show. So the young men are performing their own story as opposed to it happening in real time.
Right. And the original direction and choreography was by Susan Stroman, who is a name very familiar to theater goers. And Susan Stroman is somebody that you have worked with quite a bit, a matter of fact.
Yes. She's a five-time Tony Award winner. And she's a pretty substantial lady in the history of musical theater. I have an association with her since 1998. And she's entrusted me with restaging her works and seeking me out to doctor her shows, when I've been making opinions and everything.
That's quite an honor.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you ascend to this honor with Susan Stroman? How did you first get in touch with her?
Well, I crashed an audition, as the term is called. It was an invited call, and I just heard about it through the grapevine, and I showed up at this audition, and she liked me, and I was cast in the musical Contact, which won the Best Musical Tony Award in 2000.
Wow.
And because I did my job, I was always there, I learned the choreography, I learned the direction, and I had a training from Point Park, being a director and being a choreographer. She saw that, and she just willed her works onto me.
So is crashing an audition something you would recommend to young, aspiring performers?
I would say yes. I would say yes.
It worked for you.
I would say yes. You just show up, and they will see you. Chances are they'll see you. If you're there and they have time, they'll squeeze one of you in.
Takeaway, I think, is perseverance.
Yes, exactly.
What it is.
Yeah.
So you have, as I said earlier, an illustrious career both in choreography and direction. So, what do you feel that you specifically are bringing to this production of Scottsboro Boys? And with respect to Susan Stroman, what's your unique stamp on this?
I tend to be like a theater history geek. If you will, and I love research. So what I did is I invested a lot of research into this particular work when it was first being put together. So I knew all of that. But my take is that I have a social conscience, and I'm really making a stance with this work. So it's very unique. My interpretation of it, I'll be the first Afro-American person directing the work. So I think that is in itself a big stance with it.
Always relevant. I mean, unfortunately, very relevant today.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be difficult to see a piece like this without, current events in mind.
Yes.
I imagine it might be tricky to direct it without those in mind, too.
Exactly.
Is there anything currently influencing this process from the outside?
Yes, the climate that we're going through right now politically, you know, with our president and the recent events that just happened in Charlottesville. I mean, there's a lot of that going on. There's also a lot of the immigrant and just the legal system, you know, police issues. There's a lot of commentary that's going on in there inside the work. But again, it's done through a very respectful and fun, at times, often fun.
And there's an interesting footnote to the story of the Scottsboro Boys, which developed a little more recently in history that's not necessarily included in the musical. Am I correct about this?
Yeah. About the exoneration of
right,
the yes,
right.
Exactly. Yeah, the history of the show, it was on Broadway in 2011, and then it went across the country, and then it ended up in London. And through the success of it there on the West End, the case was reopened here in the United States, and all nine young men were finally exonerated in 2015.
That's amazing.
From 1931 to 2015, that's a great deal of time.
And really, it's due to the show reignited the interest in that led to their eventual exoneration.
Exactly.
That's amazing that art has the power to influence history like that.
Exactly.
So please put that in your director's notes. I hope there's going to be something in the program about that, because that is an incredible story. Yeah. I mean, there could be a play about that. So get thinking, you know, because I know you're a writer too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, just cut me in for just 2%, you know, for the idea.
It's all yours.
I know that you'll do an amazing job with it, you know, the dance numbers especially.
Yeah.
But, you know, in this current climate, what do you hope above all that audiences will take away from this piece?
That they should be aware. Be aware of what's going on and find and do the research and reading for yourself. You know, so you really can make a decision for yourself. A great deal came from this particular case. The character of Rosa Parks is also prominent in the work, and she herself in reality went to a Scottsboro Boys rally supporting them to deliver a cake. And she has a cake, and we have that in the play. It's already written into the play.
Uh-huh.
And she met her husband there, and that fueled her to be able to make the stance on the bus, because she's waiting for a bus. So she left that, and then she went, and she was thinking. And so the next step for her was that step that changed history, you know, from these boys.
A very important piece of music, art,
laughs,
dance.
Laughs.
There will be laughter,
laughs.
We must say that too. I am intrigued. That is Scottsboro Boys. We have the card here, and that will open at the Pittsburgh Playhouse September 8th, and it'll run through September 24th. It'll be at the Rowell Theater there. Preview is September 7th. Plenty of opportunities to see it, and all of your fine work there, Tomei.
Thank you.
We wish you the best. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.